Welcome to Blue Collar BS, a podcast that busts the popular myth that we can't find good people, highlighting how the different generations of today, the boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z, are redefining work so that the industrial revolution that started in the U.S. stays in the U.S.
The Blue Collar BS podcast helps blue collar business owners like you build a business that'll thrive for decades to come by turning that blue collar bullshit into some blue collar business solutions.
In this episode, you're going to learn that service is sales and sales is service. Learn about the challenger sales, a confused mind does not buy, and to use assessments to get the right people in the right place.
Our guest today is Nick Luisi, a Generation X selling machine, leveraging his knowledge to improve the lives of all generations. We hope you enjoy this show.
Welcome back to the show, Brad Herta. How are you doing, my friend?
I am wonderful, Mr. Stephen Doyle. And how is the great state of Michigan treating you after that very squeaky Lions win over to the New Orleans Saints?
Well, you know, I mean, it's pretty good right now. It's the typical December day, because we are airing, we're recording here in December, even though it's airing in April, you know, so it's, you know, doing really well right now. It's
almost like April weather, sort of.
It almost is. But you see, in April, it's sunny. Right now, it's like gloomy, but it's balmy. It's like 50 degrees. It's kind of nice out right now.
Perfect. So, that is awesome. It's
perfect. So Brad, my boomer friend,
whatever.
Who do we have? We're going to go there already on the show. It's going to be a fun show. Speaking of fun shows, who do we have on the show today, Brad?
Who do we have on the show today? So we have our guest, Nick Luisi, who is a sales connoisseur. He is like the savant of sales opportunities and has gone through his career creating opportunities in the marketing and sales world for various industries, various people. And I'm super excited to have him here to drop a bunch of his wisdom and knowledge to help many of our business owners understand that good marketing, good sales tactics creates better revenue opportunities. And I am super excited to have him. Thank you, Nick, for being here today.
It's my honor. Thank you, guys. I'm coming from Chicago, so I feel like we got the trifecta of the Midwest. It's April here, we finally got out of the doldrums. So we're hopefully for our really good 6 days that we get in Illinois.
Right. Exactly.
We haven't quite got them yet, but we're hoping for them.
You're right. At number four. We got four, and there's only a couple weeks left in the year. So that's perfect.
Absolutely.
Yep. Absolutely. So, hey, Nick, before I forget, which generation do you best fit in with, identify with, however you want to answer that?
You know, I squeak in, I'm Gen X, and I know that want to be with Gen X, Steve, according to Brad. So you're welcome to cohort. I'm making coats. We're going to have a coat for you. We've got a swag bag coming. There's a test that you're going to have to be able to get in, but I know that you want to be. But no, I'm Gen X, pride and true. I love the Gen X movies. I love the Gen X music. I still listen to it. Though my kids hate it, it is all good.
So, Steve, you should pull out the board game and find out if he truly.
You know what? Just because of that, I am going to pull out a few questions from Mind the Gap, which is a mind game. So towards the end, we are going to ask some questions now, just to verify.
So I answered more Gen Z questions than my own Gen X questions when we did it on the show a couple months back. So
yep.
I'm just forewarned, right? I guess that's good.
Yep.
So Nick, walk us through your career on that sales front, marketing front, and what drew you into that world, and then how have you seen it evolve over your careers to how the tactics and techniques have changed across reaching different generations?
Yeah. Great question. So, you know, I started out carrying a bag. My first job out of college was in the sales side, right? So, got pointed to a cubicle, got pointed to a telephone, which some of your younger folks may not know what that is, but it was a landline.
It was actually mounted on the desk with a wire.
Mounted on the desk. We couldn't really walk around with it. I did get a headset, but the headset was wired, so I only had like 25 feet that I could walk. We had, back in the day, we had the white pages or the manufacturer's guide, and I just started cold calling. And it was before even ACT software, which they're going to have to go back and look up what that was, but I started with the one card system, which is a really pretty fancy index card, right? So you ask your question is, what's changed? Well, obviously the technology's changed. The ability to source leads have changed. But I think selling is still people to people, right? Human to human, no matter how much stuff you try to put on it and how difficult we try to make it, it is not. It's just two humans connected and really trying to solve a problem, whether we know the problem is there or we have to do good discovery to get the person to realize that there's a problem. And I've sold it all, right? So I started out selling insurance, financial services, that type of thing, building up a book of business, went on to sell in the healthcare space because it was booming in the 90s and it was like a gold rush. So I ran into that, then started my own agency. So I had my own advertising and marketing agency. I was heavy in the home improvement, home services, and I thought I was the smartest guy in the world in 2008 and nine. And I realized I wasn't all that bright. And then I had to just pound the pavement, and built sales teams. And so, I've been working with small to mid-sized businesses for the last, let's say, 10 years and 12 years, and really saw a need for what I do now, which is fractional sales leadership, to help them build the sales team. They can't afford a high-level, high-powered sales executive on a full-time basis, but they can get a fraction of my time and my team's time.
Okay. So working in that area before the economic downturn, crash, financial crisis, whatever we want to call it, in the home improvement services area, how were you able to connect the dots with those with the service techs that they are the face of the company at the end of the day, even though the owner might think he's the face of the company, to also then generating those add-on sales or opportunities or customer service callbacks, 5-star reviews, which weren't as big of a deal quite yet at that point? But how did you go through that on the service tech side? The guy that's going in the house, the guy that's talking to the wife, the daughter, the grandmother.
It's interesting, right? Because they're really good technicians. And now you have to make them into something which maybe they're not hardwired to be, which is a little bit more softer, a little bit more friendlier, a little bit more sales oriented. So, the first thing we did is obviously awareness and training. That has to happen on a daily basis. It has to happen on a weekly and monthly basis. Next thing you do is you align incentives. In the sales world, we call that commissions, right? But, you monitor, make it monetarily worth their while for this. Everybody we have found, we do with a lot of clients currently, is really aligning their in-house teams, whether that's the tech, whether that's a service tech, whether we have junk removal clients, the people going in and removing that, they're incentivized to get the Yelp reviews, the 5-star reviews. We then commission them that week on the 5-star reviews once we could verify it. And then overall, on the monthly basis, we commission them or incentivize them economically on the add-on services that they do. And really, the add-on services are necessary, right? Because usually the person on the phone on the initial call doesn't do that great of a discovery, does a great job, but doesn't do the phenomenal job of realizing that there's other things that have to happen if they're HVAC on the units, right? Maybe there's something amiss. And you have to teach them that really what they're doing is servicing the client and doing it in such a way that Mr. or Mrs. feels well. Historically, it was Mrs., especially in the 90s and the 2000s and 2010s. Now everybody's home, right? So it's male, female. But in the past, it was Mrs. was home, especially the Gen Xers that haven't left their parents' basement or the millennials that haven't done any of that. So,
that's fire.
Yeah, it's all good. You just have to just train people and then connect the why. And to me, the most important thing to do is, service is sales and sales is service, and teaching them this is why we do this.
a lot of my clients in the day, it was back the open book school of business, right? So kind of open sourcing the books so people knew what the economics were. A lot of times people are thinking that the business owner is making a mint. He or she may not be or may be, but just really aligning the incentives and opening the books so everybody knows what the plan, what the scorecard is and why we do what we do.
Right. So how has the pandemic shaped things differently? So since we've evolved from that, currently where we stand from a sales perspective, what are some trends that you've seen that are different?
Well, we're more accustomed to buying over Zoom as we are all talking, right? We are, back in the day, especially, you're selling in the house, you had to go into the home, right? Or you had to go into the office. I think there's still a fair amount, if not more and more, of pre-sales discovery being done. And some of that's being done by the prospect, right? So they're going online, they're doing their searches. Yep. They maybe have a solution or two in mind. It may be the wrong solution, right? But they may have a solution or two in mind. And so you're going to have to kind of work with them. If it's the wrong, you have to be more of a challenger, right? We call it the challenger sale.
The challenger sale is a great book, by the way.
Yeah. You have to just kind of go through. And if you look at the HBR, I was just reading a study by Harvard Business Review, right? Challenger salespeople are the ones that are going to be more economically beneficial to any organization, somebody that's going to be able to position why the solution is better than what maybe the person thinks. So I think that's really changed. I think the other thing has changed, and I think we're going to see it even more so in the latter part of 2024. We are in a vacuum of trust, right? There is no trust election. Wherever you sit, positive or negative, I'm not saying anything, but it is just going to be a lot of communication and a lot of misinformation, and a confused mind doesn't buy. So it slows down the sales process. The pandemic and some things sped it up. On other things, it slowed it down. And I think we see that in 2024 too.
Yeah, absolutely. So since the pandemic, because we kind of are basing things on pandemic and non-pandemic. Uh-huh. How have you seen sales professionals change with respect to their generations?
Can I answer it first and see if I'm close, Nick?
Yeah, go ahead.
I think they've gotten sloppier, lazier, and far less professional.
Wow. Yeah, you stole the punchline.
Wow, you came flying in off the top shelf.
And that's 100% correct. And I think they also have, and I was actually just talking to two salespeople in the millennial, right? Or maybe a little bit older age groups. And they said, there is just no tenacity with salespeople anymore. They've lost a level of tenacity, right? And they've gotten, and I think part of that is our fault as sales leaders, right? We've made it easier in my day. You had a prospect to build up your book of business. Now we have what's called BDRs, right? Business development reps. My day when I hired them, they weren't fancy titles. They were called appointment setters, right? But now we've got to make everything beautiful. So it's just, so when they go home to tell mom or grandma at Christmas, well, I'm a BDR. Well, what the hell is that? Well, I make appointments for my boss. But, that's what we've done. And we've made it, we have sales account executives that just don't even know how to prospect, are fearful of prospecting, are fearful of, if I had a landline, I would show you, but they won't pick up the phone. And right. So just trying to get to the basics of the blocking and tackling. I like to say, and I think Brad and I talked a little bit about this once, I'm the Vince Lombardi of sales leadership, right? Gentlemen, this is a football, right? We're going to run the six plays as well as we could run the six plays and not worried about all the fancy TikToking or things of that nature. And I think we've allowed too much noise to happen in sales processes and with salespeople. And quite frankly, there's a lot of really bad noise out there of people that are meaning well. And, I was looking at one person posting the heck out of something on LinkedIn. They've never sold anything in their life. So how in the world do they understand a sales conversation or a sales dynamic if you've never been in it? Belly button to belly button, if I could quote Zig Ziglar, right? Or my first general agent that taught me all sales happen belly button to belly button, face to face. Get yourself out of the office, right? We used to have a quote, can't make sales sitting on your ass, right? You had to go out into the field. You had to go out and prospect. You had to knock on doors. You had to pull doors and introduce yourself to people. And people, you know, so Brad's spot on. I just added some color commentary to what he said, but he's 100% spot on with that.
Let's elaborate on some of the color commentary for a moment. Right. So we have buyers of all generations that are out there. Right. So we've got all four generations of buyers. We have the boomer, we have the X, the millennial, and now the Gen Z's, and that 26 years old. They are buying houses, they're buying cars, they're in that consumer market moving forward, and insurance, they're in the entire market. And we have sales folks across all those four generations. How are you finding, you're going out and saying, hey, got to get out, got to make the phone call, belly button to belly button. If the Gen Z buyer doesn't want to buy that way, but you've got a guy like yourself promoting, got to go out and get in front of them. How are you managing that gap? How are you managing those different preferences in behavioral styles and or wants and needs?
So I think there's a couple things. One is you got to meet the buyer or prospect where they're at, right? So you got to, you know, you got to figure out what's their communication method. So if you call and they text you back, you've now, okay, their love language is texting, right? So I'm going to, you know, focus on texting. You have to be very more astute in who is the primary buyer, especially if you're selling to couples, right? In the old days, people, we just defaulted to the male. That may be completely different now, and it may be the female. So you have to do that. And that's, you know, that's a husband and wife dynamic or a couple dynamic. In the sales process of selling B2B, you have to figure out the dynamic. You may be selling to multi-generationals in the B2Bs, right? There is more buying committees that we see happen. So now it used to be that, and goes back to Steve's original question, what's happened since the pandemic? Well, buying committees have grown. They're like six or seven people now. Well, you can't figure out who your angel is, right? Who is the person that's going to shepherd your deal? Who's going to blow the deal up when you leave the room? I mean, you know, usually you could figure it out in three people. I could just read their body language. Now you have to kind of really be astute in that.
Well, so, you're not even in the room anymore now because it's happening on Zoom.
It's on Zoom, right.
Don't have their cameras on.
Right. So what do you do? So I think, you know, I just think you have to listen. It's paid well when it's done well for the reason that you have to be a good practitioner. You have to study. You have to figure it out. You have to be creative, right? There's different vehicles and there's different ways that you have to communicate. So to me, I'm going to communicate on all three. If I know that one person's an emailer, I'm emailing. And if it's a group, I'm emailing, I'm texting, and I am, you know, sending it via voicemail. And quite frankly, I'm sending it via direct mail or a Federal Express so that they have something tangible, right? Because everybody's different. And the worst thing you do in anything is assume. And it goes back to your statement, Brad. We are getting too lazy, right? We just want to just send a text and think that people could buy. Here's the link, buy off this link. It doesn't happen. You know, you kind of have to force the deal, push the deal, pull the deal, fight the deal over the end zone. Too much is getting stuck in the red zone. If we could quote sports, that's okay with this.
Absolutely.
With I just find it very interesting. Yeah. I find it interesting the Chicago guy quotes Vince Lombardi.
I went to school in Wisconsin, so you know I did my formative college training in Wisconsin. You know, Papa Hal has probably said some good stuff too. I just haven't read his books. I would quote the Bears if you act like Walter Payton, right? When you win and like you've been in the end zone before, and you just hand the football to the ref versus doing a dance. But right. That's just my personal.
No, that's opinion. That's why the fridge gets the touchdown instead of Walter. Don't worry about it.
Still to this day, the worst thing that might be.
It's okay. Don't worry about it.
It's the Super Bowl shuffle. That's what's in my mind.
Well, we're still talking about that here in Chicago. So
that's awesome.
Hey, Steve, we don't have one in Detroit. I'm a Detroit guy, but for Lions, yeah, we don't have one. We don't even have one.
Yeah, you guys.
We don't even have a shuffle, so it's okay.
Someday that'll happen.
Right.
Nick, help us understand right now today, what can blue collar businesses do to help amplify their sales team? Like you give us three quick things that they can do to help their team out.
Well, one, it goes back to what we talked about. So, you know, doing some level of daily or weekly touch point, we call it a sales huddle, doing that. right? So just getting, what are we hearing? What are we hearing in the marketplace? Who's hearing objections? Let's brainstorm on how we would solve this from a solution standpoint. You know, just doing that. I'm a firm believer of creating scorecards or KPIs, right?
Yep.
And the most important thing that any blue collar or really any business owner could do is quantifying what is the best sales process out there, right? How do my superstars sell? How do I sell? Quantify that and document that and train to that on a daily basis, right? So creating a predictable and repeatable sales process where the person could do it over and over and over and over again. That's how you start training people. Pardon me?
That's crazy talk, Nick.
Oh, sorry about that. Yeah.
Why would you want process? Come on.
And now when you're ready to do a sell, you bring the buyer in and say, well, here's the sales process that all of our team follows. And when you as the new owner don't have to worry about selling. And so now I just took my multiple from 2 or 1 to 3 or 4 or 5 because I've got a documented sales process that can be trained and repeated and also tested, right? And modified if need be. But that's what they could do. I took the easy stuff first, right? Just meet with them. Just talk about that.
It's building the foundation. Yeah. So you can build your tower and your plaza or whatever you want to build later on. And sometimes you got to tweak the foundation here and there. But if you don't have the foundation, there's no way you're going to be successful.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I got a question for you, Nick, on authenticity. Do you, because going back to the challenger sale piece of it, right? Challenger sale is about getting the solution. That relationship sale is kind of going down that longer stretch or longer path. How are you helping and supporting the multiple generations and just being them their authentic selves versus putting on the show? As all generations are getting more and more relational and they want to buy from people they know, like, and trust, but that know, like, and trust has changed since COVID, I think personally, and people's bullshit detectors have risen dramatically with all of the internet scams and all the bullshit email stuff and all these other things that, you're trying to screw me. How are you supporting your teams to understand that, you know, don't put the show on, just be you and use these words?
You know, I think some of the younger generations might be better at that, right? Of being who they are, right? They're going to be each kind of true to who they are. I think the other thing you could do is really doing a really deep dive on who's on your sales team. And that deep dive is probably better saying, who do I want on my sales team? What are the personality traits? You know, whether you use DISC, I'm a big fan of DISC. I'm using DISC with TTI, right? And I think it's great. Yep. And just having a full understanding of that and allows you to coach them. But I like it on the front end. And I'm part of a large group where we've kind of created best practices of, okay, this is who you should be hiring to. Because many times business owners hire the wrong people. And so now you've got to unravel a mess, right? They've hired their brother-in-law, their sister-in-law. They hired, you know, their golfing buddy's kid because he's really nice, you know, and he can make a good martini, you know, and so therefore he's going to be a good salesperson, which historically that's why they hire me, because I got to be the bad guy saying, okay, well, you know, you made a mistake, now let's talk about how do we exit this relationship as fair to everybody as possible, but we have to exit it. So to go back to what you said, you know, use their personalities and their drivers, whatever that is, but also you want to just be constantly showing them to the mean, right? And so what does challenging look like? So it's very, you know, so it's not done in a condescending way, right? You know, and just what does that look like when you're asking people? What is the right language you do? You have to do a lot of it with younger female sellers. For some reason, younger females, I see it all the time, default to, oh, I'm sorry. Well, you can't be the challenger, right, in the relationship if you're constantly apologizing. So you have to kind of coach them on their language and coach them on their behaviors and focus on where they want the outcome to go. And it ain't going to happen overnight, Brad. I wish it could, right? But it ain't going to happen overnight. And so a lot of it starts in the hiring process and then in the daily huddles, the weekly huddles, and kind of just moving people through.
Okay. So if somebody wants to get more of Nick and more of this energy and excitement and drive revenue in a different direction, how do people find you? Where do they get a hold of you? How do they connect with you?
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that. they could go to salesperformanceteam.com, right? They could start there. That's the relationship. They could go on the LinkedIn, Nicholas Luisi, right? I'm on LinkedIn. My office is on LinkedIn. We've got a lot of freebies, right? So if they just want to kind of learn some of my thinking, I think I got like a 99 cents on book on Amazon. I probably got a couple dollars. You know, I've got like three or four different books on Amazon. So they could start the relationship. We've also got some goodies for your folks. We put together a nice package and they could just send us an email at info@salesperformanceteam.com, reference the Blue Collar podcast, and we put together a nice bundle of best practices checklist and what do we look for when we're hiring and everything that we could possibly do, how to create your own sales process. And if they want to talk to us or they have a problem, we also have to do an audit, right? And we're going to give that audit free to your listeners. So they just have to mention that. And it's a really, really nice, well done best practices audit. It's about 35 pages when we're over it. Don't worry, Steve, you don't have to read the 35 pages. I'm going to give you your top 10, right? So you just Perfect. Go through here are your top 10.
No,
these are the top 10 things that you solve. Because God forbid, I'm a millennial who reads anything over like over 140, digits.
280 characters. So, that's it. 280 characters.
It's, on, it's not 280 now. I'm aging myself. I didn't even know that.
Wow. Wow.
I appreciate you jumping on him, Nick. I really do.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. So, Steve, you got your cards? Do you got your cards, Steve?
I do. I have the cards. I do. Payback is going to be fun. So for those that haven't heard the show in a little bit, we haven't done this game in a few episodes, but it's called Mind the Gap. And there's five categories. So I'll give you guys your choice of a category. And we're going to ask some questions to see if you know which generation this is. So from the five categories, we've got TV film, we have pop culture, music, headlines, slang, and slogans. So Nick, because you're our guest, which of those five would you like to venture down first?
Well, I guess let's go to your first one, because that's the only one I can remember.
TV and film. All right. So which game show, invented by Merv Griffin and his wife in 1964, gave contestants the answer and the contestants had to provide the question?
What is Jeopardy, Steve?
Jeopardy, right? Alex Trebek is what I'm thinking. Yeah.
All right. That's good for you guys.
That's from the 60s.
Yes, you're correct. So, you're fitting well with some.
That was a boomer question.
That is a boomer question. All right. Next question in the same category. What was the name of Meg Ryan's bookstore in the movie You've Got Mail?
Well, it's based on the shop around the corner. So was it the store around the corner or something like that?
You hit it. The shop around the corner.
Never saw the movie.
Oh, Brad.
Well, we got to do it tonight. Rent the rom-com.
Nope.
Yeah.
No interest. Sorry.
All right. In what TV show did Barry Stinson famously say legendary?
No idea.
Millennial question. No clue.
How I Met Your Mother.
Ah. Never watched that.
Oh, Barney Stinson. It's Barney.
Yes, it is. What did I say? Benny?
Yeah, that's what threw me off.
I need to put my progressive lenses on.
Way to go, millennial. Yeah, screwed up reading.
I did. All right. So what movie, often credited with having the last word on Gen Xers, has four friends dancing to My Sharona inside a gas station?
Mallrats? I don't know.
It's called Reality Bites.
Reality Bites with Nona Liner, right? Yeah. So, yeah.
So, I mean, you did answer the boomer and millennial question correctly.
Yeah.
All right. Hard.
Perfect.
So, one more category that you get to pick from: pop culture, music, headlines, or slang and slogans.
Let's do headlines for $20,000.
Headlines for $20,000. That's a headline. All right. What came down in 1989, signaling the defrosting of the Cold War?
The wall.
Nick, the wall.
That is right. The Berlin Wall.
Yeah. Taking down that wall. Tear down this wall.
All right.
Ronald Reagan.
In 1997 bout, what bizarre tactic did Mike Tyson use on Evander Holyfield?
Bit his ear.
That is correct.
Now you're getting sports. Now we're all going to rock and roll.
Yeah, right. All right. In 2008, this city hosted the Summer Olympics with spectacular ceremonies, but the country's poor human rights record caused controversy.
08.
Was it
China? Was 12. No,
Myanmar? Africa?
Is that your final answer? It was Beijing.
It was Beijing in 08?
It was, yep. China, so they had it, yeah.
Yep. All right, so.
I thought that was in 12. Wow, it's been that long. It was that long ago. Wow. Okay.
All right, Brad, if you don't get this, what famous female athlete considered the greatest of the first half of the 20th century was an Olympic gold medalist and professional golfer?
Olympic gold medalist?
Oh, and professional golfer.
Yeah.
What was her name?
Golf for the Olympics just came back. So who won that? Who won the gold? She is, I can picture her. I can't come up with a name though.
I doubt it's right.
It's somebody older, if I'm correct, right? And her name escapes me, but so
What was the century, Stephen?
You this question again? Yeah.
So what famous female athlete considered the greatest of the first half of the 20th century?
First half
was an Olympic gold medalist and professional golfer.
It wasn't her like nicknamed the Babe or something. I know it wasn't Babe Ruth, but it was right. Well, something the Babe. She was.
Yep.
And I think she was tennis is what maybe what she won the gold in, but she also was a professional golfer. I don't know her name, but I do know her name was the Babe.
Dickerson Zaharias.
You are correct. Way to Google that one, Brad.
That was good.
So
I'm millennial that. I Googled
interesting.
That.
So that was the boomer question. You missed the boomer. I mean, you cheated on the boomer question, Brad.
No, I Gen Z'd it.
You did Gen Z it. You missed the Gen Z, but you did nail the Gen X and millennial question. So, perfect. You know, kind of mixed a little around here. So that's why we do this game, just to kind of see where do we actually reside. Now, I would fail all of these because none of these really relate to me.
And the game is called Mind the Gap for those at home and want to have fun. It's a different version of Trivial. It's a good family Trivial Pursuit game that actually has some meaning to it because everybody should cover something.
Yep,
it's not just all old stuff. So again, Nick, thank you so much for being on the show. We really do appreciate it. And we look forward to staying connected on LinkedIn. And if you make it up to Milwaukee soon, give me a shout.
I will. Absolutely. Thanks, guys. Thanks for everything.
Thanks. Thank you. Thank you for listening to Blue Collar BS, brought to you by Vision Forward Business Solutions and Professional Business Coaching, Inc. If you'd like to learn more on today's topic, just reach out to Steve Doyle or myself, Brad Herta. Please like, share, rate, and review this show, as feedback is the only way we can get better. Let's keep blue-collar businesses strong for generations to come.